Kevin, did he have a spiritual advisor on the other side?
He did not, other than what he would say, we all have angels and we all have archangels. Basically, Casey would put himself to sleep, travel himself through his own levels of consciousness to a place he called the Akashic Records, which he would essentially describe as the universal library for every soul who has ever come into the earth, and then receive there the information about the person for whom he was giving a reading. He was very much aware of people who had advisors on the other side, like Eileen Garrett was a friend of his, and she had an advisor on the other side named Yuvani, but Casey himself did it himself.
The Hall of Records, why haven't we found it yet at the foot of the Sphinx?
Well,
maybe we have.
That's a good question. For your listeners, who maybe all your listeners know, but Casey suggested that the Atlantean civilization, when they knew they were going down, decided to save remnants of their civilization or records of their civilization in three places in the earth. What we would today call a place in the Yucatan, the Bimini Islands, which Casey said were the uppermost reaches of what had been the continent of Atlantis, and beneath the right paw of the Sphinx. And actually, ARE sponsors and has sponsored, ever since I've been involved, various research explorations to all these areas. And in terms of the Sphinx, there is a known anomaly at the right paw of the Sphinx, meaning that when they do satellite photography or sounding, there's something different about the bedrock below the right paw of the Sphinx. It could be a chamber, it could just be a different kind of rock. But what the Zawi Hawass, who's charged with
antiquities, right.
He has, last I heard, he had authorized a school in England, I believe it's the University of Birmingham, who specializes in mining, to dig beneath the Sphinx, but not straight down, because otherwise you might ruin the plateau, but to dig at an angle off the plateau to go beneath the Sphinx to see what's there.
Did Casey ever talk about what might be in the Hall of Records?
Basically, he said that it was records of the Atlantean civilization. It was also that we would be amazed and surprised that somehow the Atlanteans had either gathered together a group of psychics or somehow they had access to the Akashic Records, which also is constantly calculating probable futures. And they had written the history of the world from the time they went down to the time that we discovered these records, so that we would see, my gosh, there's more to them than we thought. Here's the history of everything that we know about. That it would make it very clear that humanity has been here a lot longer than we had guessed, that we had reached heights of technology more often than we had thought, and that our connection to one another and to perhaps the divine was very different than we imagined.
I would have loved to have met him.
I would, too. I of course, never got to meet him, but certainly through his letters and through, but people told me about him that knew him. I feel like he was a very caring, interesting, fun-loving, loved to fish, loved to tell jokes, a man that was very humble in some respects and yet very devoted to his work and to his family and to even Virginia Beach.
How old was he when he died, and when did he die?
He died in 1945. He was just shy of 67 years old. And basically what had happened was his own readings had told him that he should never give more than two readings a day, that essentially it was somehow his physical body, because he was doing the work himself, was tuning into a very high level of energy that could overwhelm his physical body. And yet a couple of publications came out about him. Coronet magazine of the time, which was kind of like a life magazine of the time, wrote a multiple-page article about the Miracle Man of Virginia Beach, and his first biography, There Is a River, came out in 1943. And there were so many people who had sons and loved ones in World War II that they were concerned about and they'd write questions about, and people had their own problems, that mail was being delivered in large sackfuls by the post office. And so just in order to try to stay caught up, Casey instructed his secretary to schedule 8, 10, 12 readings a day. He eventually had a stroke and then passed away a few months later. And when he died, readings were scheduled like that 2 years in advance.
Oh, my gosh. It did wear him out, though, didn't it?
It did wear him out, yeah.
That's a shame. The you've written several books about Edgar Casey, and one fascinating one of the many I mentioned, Edgar Casey and Soulmates. Tell me about that.
Well, certainly a lot of people want to know where their soulmate is. So people just like you and I, when they were having questions about relationships, would ask Edgar Casey questions about soulmates or how to make their relationship more of a soulmate relationship or having problems with the person that they were with, and is this really a soulmate? And Casey puts an interesting twist on this whole topic, suggesting that we don't have just one soulmate, that we actually have a number of them, many of them, in fact, and that they're not always sexual relationships, that somehow the people we've been with through space and time come back to us in family relationships, family dynamics, work relationships. He actually suggested that every person with whom we have a strong emotional connection, positive or negative, is a soulmate in terms of we've been with this person before and we will definitely be with this person again.
I agree with that. I don't think you have to have one soulmate. I think that's been misinterpreted.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually based on a story Plato told about the creation of humankind and how that we all have another half, this concept of soulmates. But Casey suggested we all have more than one, and that basically people come into our lives to help us to become better people and to become more balanced. And most often that's extremely challenging. So we're in a relationship and we think, my God, this is not what relationships are supposed to be like. We've heard all these stories about the prince and the princess and Sleeping Beauty, and we wonder, well, why aren't we having an ideal fantasy relationship? And Casey would suggest that that's something we're supposed to create and build. And very often when people were having relationship problems, he would talk about creating what we might call a soulmate relationship, how to become a better person, how to help each other grow. Casey did recommend divorce, but it was not a common occurrence. Mostly, he suggested people needed to work through their problems or they would have to come back and face them again.
Can you have a soulmate even though, let's say, your marriage ends in divorce? Can the two of you have been soulmates? One of many, maybe, but
absolutely.
At least you were? Okay.
And very often, people who have been married before and remarried, very often, I've had lots of experience with talking to people, they'll say, you know, I had this challenge in my first marriage and I remarried, and sure enough, the same problems started coming up. And very often the reason is because the problems are within the person and not necessarily in their partner.